I don't remember the last time that we gave a Hilchas Avelos Shiur, even though this was in theory Hilchas Avelos a slot, it was between the summer and the Yoma. So I thought that today, since we're on the eve of Yantef, and in theory it is still a Hilchas Avelos Shiur, and unfortunately we have some Avelim, I've been getting a lot of shouts the last day or two about different practices, different on Huggas, particularly for Avelos, and it plays out in terms of Sukkos. So one would have thought that I guess one would have expected that the most shaylas of Hilchos Avelos and Yom Tov would coincide on Sukkos, because it's Mansim Chaseinu, and Avelos, of course, the time, which is the opposite of that. So I thought maybe we'll go through some of the highlights, the things that Avel should be particularly aware of during this time of the year. I'll touch on some of the things we spoke a little bit in the past, and some of the new things that we haven't had a chance to think about, and even for not Avelos, it's a lot of Zinyan of the Yom in terms of some issues related to the Simcha of Sukkos in general. The Shulchan Aruch quotes two different minhagim in the end of Hilchos Sukkos, where he quotes the meaning of doing Hoshanas. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes two different practices, whether an Avil participates in Hoshanas or not. What exactly is this based on? So the question is, where in the world did Hoshanas come from in the first place? So we mentioned yesterday in the Shia, we were talking about the person who forgot to make a bracha on his lulav, and then he remembers before Hoshanas, so some person can say, he can still make a bracha then, because that's all considered to be the end of the mitzvah of Tilas lulav. And we had a little bit of a question on that, because Hoshanas is not a real din in the Gemara, it's a minig that was instituted much later, so it's hard to defend reciting a bracha based on Hoshanas, but it's a minig, it's an age-old minig Yisrael. So Shulchan Aruch quotes a question, whether it's appropriate for an Avil to participate in Hoshanas or not. Why should one say that an Avil can't do Hoshanas? So there are an array of different reasons that are suggested by the Poskim and Shulchan Aruch as to what the source for this practice of telling an Avil to refrain from participating in Hoshanas. So there are those who say that it's a throwback to a din that has to do with a Kohen. The Torah says, Roshechem al tifrom, Roshechem lo sifromu. The Torah says that when Aaron's sons died, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately told Aaron and the remaining sons that they have to be careful not to do the following things. They shouldn't grow their hair long, or they shouldn't rip their clothes, they shouldn't involve themselves in all these activities that are usually associated with Avelos. So the Gemara says that, by the way, you see from here, from the fact that the Torah is telling the Aaron and the sons not to participate in those kinds of activities, not to grow the hair long, or shechem al tifrom, don't rip your clothes, you see from here that an oval is supposed to grow his hair long, and you see from here an oval is supposed to rip his clothes, and this is the source for the din of kriya, this is the source that an oval doesn't take a haircut for a certain amount of time. But whether or not there's a din deraisa or not, that we touched on a little bit in the past, the Ravid says that maybe this is a real din deraisa, and most of the Rishonim say something din derabanan, so that's already a question. But lamais, at the end of the day, an oval is supposed to be supposed to be Perea Rosho. An Avil, regular Avil, is supposed to grow his hair long. And in contrast to Aaron and his sons, who are not permitted to observe Avelus. There is a din that when a Kohen comes to the Beis HaMikdash, so a Kohen has to look in tip-top shape when he comes to the Beis HaMikdash. So a Kohen is not allowed to come Perea Rosho to the Beis HaMikdash. A Kohen, not because he's known, Kohen has gotten a haircut in 6 months. It looks like a wreck, looks like a mess. And he walks into the basic, she wants to do Avoid Nesach Korbanu. So he's not allowed to do that. He's not allowed to be Parua Rosh. So the Kohen has to make sure to get a haircut every once in a while to make sure that he looks in the tip-top shape. How often does a Kohen have to get a haircut? So the Pasuk says, Parua, those who learn Masechas Nazir. Already that's the magic word. Gadel Peres Arosho. The Torah uses the word parua for a Kohen has to be not parua rosh, and a nazir has to be parua rosh, has to look like a wreck. The nazir is supposed to look like a mess. How long is a nazir not take a haircut for? So that's 30 days. And how do you know that? So we learn from another pasuk. Although he has gematria shloshim, so we have a whole array of drushas that teaches us that a nazir doesn't get a haircut for 30 days, and a Kohen must get a haircut every 30 days, and if he hasn't gotten a haircut within the last 30 days, then he's not allowed to participate in the Avodas HaMikdash. So the Bach suggests that maybe it's that aspect of Chazavelos that is responsible for the fact that a person doesn't do Hoshanas. Because Hoshanas that we do is a throwback to the old days when they used to actually walk around the Mizbech. So they used to walk around the Mizbeach, so the Gemara says that somebody who is not fit to do the Avodah is not supposed to participate in those Shanas. So a Kohen who's an Ovel, so he hasn't gotten a haircut in a long time, he's a Paror Rosh, so he's been walking around for weeks and weeks and weeks without getting a haircut. The Shlosha means he already passed 30 days, so he looks like a wreck. So the Ovel looks like a mess, his hair is growing long. For him to do a Shanas in the Beis HaMikdash, for him to walk around in an Ulam from Mizbeach, for him to go in front of the Mizbeach, that would be inappropriate. So therefore, Bizman HaZeh, when we have a throwback, we would Mizeich HaMikdash, so we wouldn't let the person who's the Paror Rosh, i.e. the Ovel, do Oshanas. The problem, that beer, very nice beer, but Lamaisa, the parallel is not true. We let a lot of people do Hoshanas who wouldn't be worthy to do a vote in the Beis HaMikdash. For example, Yisraelim. So Bali Mumin, we never heard of such a thing that according to Babum, so we can't do Hoshanas. Yisraels didn't do Hoshanas in the Beis HaMikdash, yet we let him do Hoshanas Bizman HaZeh. So obviously the Hoshanas that we do, we walk around the Bima, it's a Zeich HaMikdash, but it's not exactly the same thing. We're not literally mimicking what it was done in the Beis HaMikdash. So to say that the reason why the Ovel can't do Hoshanas is because his hair is long, and therefore someone with long hair can't do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, so that sounds like a little bit more than the minhag of Hoshanas really is. So there's got to be some other reason. Got to be some other suggestion as to why we don't let the Ovel do Hoshanas. So some suggest that the reason why the Ovel doesn't do Hoshanas, according to that Yeshom, that opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, has become our practice, that the Ovel doesn't do Hoshanas is based on a different thing altogether, is nothing to do with Avelus proper. It's a throwback to another minhag that we have, which is people think is related to Avelus, but it's not really an expression of Avelus. That's the fact that that an Ovel doesn't daven for the Yamid on certain times of the year. An Ovel doesn't daven on Yom Tov, and then you have different minhagim as to what's considered to be a Yom Tov for these purposes. We had, of course, our famous scenario. It was the first or second year of our shul. It was the Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and Rav Shechter happened to be here for Yom Tov. He gave a guest shiur to Mincha Ma'ariv, and it was the year that he was in Avelus. So after the shiur was over, so Rav Shechter asked us, "What's the meaning of the shul? Do Avelim daven on Chol HaMoed?" So we looked at each other, we said, "We don't really have a minhag, so we just started Bachshem, everyone's young, no, we don't have an Avelim yet." So we said, "Okay, there's no minhag, so I'll daven for the Yamid." So that was Chol HaMoed. I said, "Chol HaMoed, I think that's unheard of in any other place. You know, the Poskim Pilpul Vacharikah, and then Mashchaydish at night, and everything, Chol HaMoed." The Sheikh said, "Yeah, there's no minhag, so I daven for the Yamid." But again, most people don't do that. The Avel generally doesn't daven on a Shabbos in the Yom Tov. You know, it's a whole shal about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's a whole tumult that the Poskim write. And also, the Ovel should have daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur unless there's somebody, you know, somebody else available. There's nobody else available to do it. So that's not really an Avelus Tikka Halacha. That's more of a Midas Adin they talk about, that the Ovel shouldn't be the Shalich Tzibur, Midas Adin, and Yom Tov, all kind of different reasons that are given. So some want to suggest that when you do Hoshanas, so apparently in the olden days, not everybody did Hoshanas, not everybody had Ruvin Esra, we know this for a fact. That the Rishonim described, the Basner, Shbam writes, that in his days, nobody had a Ruvin Esra. If you were lucky, had one Ruvin Esra for the whole town. They were sitting and living in northern France, where they can get a Srogan from. So they used to pay, who knows how much money, to get one Esra for the whole community to be shipped from Italy, from Greece, wherever they were growing a Srogan in those days. So the Rishbam writes that the din is yinid lochem. Each person has to own the Luvin Esrog. So they would buy it, and then they would pass it around. The matan was lahachzer. So the rabbi would own it first, and then the rabbi would give it to the gatli, give it to the president, give it to the, and it would go around hand in hand. And to everybody at the time when they were shaking the Luvin Esrog, so they would have the Luvin Esrog, and it would belong to them. Amol, he had a gvir, who was able to get his own Luvin Esrog. So most people didn't have a Luvin Esrog. So the Hoshanas in those days was a little schwach. I mean, you only do Hoshanas if you have a Luvin Esrog. The three people, maybe we should go back to that minute and be able to get a little better traffic control. So the reason why our Shabbos is such a nightmare today is because every little kid has a little, my days, and I don't know that's right. When I was a kid, I even said this at my father's husband, that I didn't have the little, and I know little kids in those days had the love of the shogun. But remember, my father would always feel bad because I would want to schlep along with the Hoshanas. So I would always hold his hand for Hoshanas, but I would feel bad because I didn't have the Luvin Esrog. So we always had a deal. We got halfway, so he would hand me the Luvin Esrog. He would walk the first half, and I would walk the second half. So we would always switch at the Aron. The Aron was halfway. So in front of the Aron Kodesh, that was the minute for all the years. I was 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, all the years till my mitzvah, I would take a Luvin Esrog. So I said, when my father's Levi was in the RJC, the shul that I grew up in, I was standing mamash in front of the Aron. I was standing in front of the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron was outside the shul, but I was speaking in front of the Aron HaKodesh, and I was telling over when I was a young child, and then I started to tell over the story, and then I realized I was standing mamash in front of the spot, that's where I used to switch from my phone. So I sat over that in the middle of the hospital, so it came to me. I said, it's in this spot, then I switched. Then I said to the old RJC people that it wasn't really that spot because the shul had been redone since then. So it was a different building. It was a different structure. But at least figuratively, it was the same spot. So in the olden days, how many people had love in Israel? Yes, a handful of people were doing the Hoshanas. So some folks can write, so that handful of people who are doing the Hoshanas, they're the shliach for the whole tzibur. They're like the shliach tzibur for the whole tzibur. So, they're the shliach tzibur for the whole tzibur. Wait a second, that's so simple. You can't be a shliach tzibur. You can't be a chazan for the tzibur if you're an avelus or yontif. So therefore, it's not right for the person to do Hoshanas because he's representing the tzibur. And when you're representing the tzibur in tefillah, you're walking around saying Hoshanah, l'manach l'kei. You're representing everybody. You like the chazan, so you can't be an avel on yontif to be the chazan. It's not like gamrei, a different reason. So the Bir Agra, the Gaon Agron writes that he thinks that all these reasons are interesting reasons, but he doesn't think they're the real reason. He thinks that Emma's a reason why the Ramah quotes the custom, Shemar quotes Yeshom, the Ramah quotes that custom is that an Ovel doesn't do Hoshanas is based on something totally different, something much more down to earth. He says that Hoshanas are an expression of Simcha. Because it says in the Chumash, "Kachta mechem yom rishon, priyat zodah, usmachta mefnei Hashem lekechem shivas yomim." So the pasuk "usmachta mefnei Hashem lekechem shivas yomim" has multiple reasons. We alluded to this a little bit yesterday. The Mishnah in the end of Masechta Sukkah derives from this phrase "usmachta mefnei Hashem lekechem shivas yomim" that there's a mitzvah of taking a lulav and esrog the entire week of Sukkot. The first day of Sukkot, that's only a mitzvah. It's only on the first day. It's only mitzvah on the first day. That's throughout the entire world. That refers even if you're in the middle of Bergenfield. To take a Luvan Esrog the entire week. So that's only a kiyum about Mikdash. But you see that the Torah calls it a simcha. The Torah describes the mitzvah of Dal Minim, at least for Mikdash, as an expression of simcha. So the Gra writes that when we do Hoshanas, so it's a throwback to the Beis Hamikdash. So we're recreating not the mitzvah l'kachta l'chamiyam rishon. L'kachta l'chamiyam rishon, I already did, that I took. So an Oval has to do that also. An Oval has to do Masa, an Oval has to do Shom, an Oval has to do all mitzvahs. So the Oval does l'kachta l'chamiyam rishon. Then the second half, usmachtem l'fnei shem l'kechem shem yamim, which we're trying to recreate by doing Hoshanas. That's where we walk around the Aron Kodesh, we walk around the bimah, like the Mizbeach. We make the whole picture like the Beis Hamikdash. So that's a fulfillment, direct fulfillment of the possible smachtem l'fnei shem l'kechem shem yamim. So that's not right that an Ovel should recreate a mitzvah shel simcha. That's not appropriate. That's the reason why the Ovel doesn't do Hoshanas. So you pick and choose which reason you want. Either the reason why the Ovel doesn't do Hoshanas because he's got his long hair flying, or the Ovel doesn't do Hoshanas because he's the shliach tzibur for the whole tzibur, or as the Gross says, it's an inyan of simcha. The bottom line is that's where the shita comes from, and that's what our minig is based on. The question is there something inappropriate with this minig? Is there something which is anti the halacha, so to speak, to follow this minig of not doing the Ovel not doing Hoshanah? So this draws into questions, and we spoke about many times the idea of avelus for hesya. That an Ovel is not supposed to do something on Yom Tif that draws attention to the fact that he's an Ovel. Shabbos also is not supposed to do things that draw attention that the person is in avelus. That's what the Gemara says. You have to put your shoes back on during Shiva. You have to take the kriya shirt off during Shiva. You're not supposed to do anything that draws attention to avelus. So the question is, when the Ovel doesn't do Hoshanas, so is that considered to be a violation of avelus with Fahesia? So there were some poskim who were bothered with that, were very, very bothered with that, and they came up with a pshar, came up with a compromise, and said that the Ovel should only not do Hoshanas at a time when nobody really notices. But if someone's going to notice, then the Ovel should do Hoshanas, not to violate Avos Tavasya. So they come up with the following pshar, the following compromise. On the first day of Yontif, maybe in Chutzlach also, it's 2 days of Yontif. So if a guy doesn't do Hoshanas, a guy's sitting around the back and just draining around, not doing anything, everyone realizes, that guy Reuven must be an Avelus. Who doesn't want to participate in Hoshanas on the first day? Or in Hoshanah Rabbah? Who doesn't participate in Hoshanah Rabbah and Hoshanas? The guy must be an Avelus. The third day Chol HaMoed, the guy's draining around and schmoozing in the back or something. They figure, it's a quick Hoshanas anyway. Nobody cares. It's only Chol HaMoed anyway. The guy's 1 foot out the door in the amusement park. He's just not interested in participating. No one's going to draw the conclusion that he's in Avelus. So some Achronim write that pshara that the first day is a Yontif. So then he's got to do Hoshanas, not to violate Avelus from Hesia. And day 7 he's got to do it. But the other days it's okay. Another post can say no. Other post can say we could do other eitzes, come up with better ideas to avoid the farhesia aspect. So that's when the minute came that the Ovel is asked to hold the Sefer Torah. Someone has to hold the Sefer Torah. The minute is you take the Sefer Torah. Someone's got to hold the Sefer Torah. So if you ask the Ovel to hold the Sefer Torah, who's going to say, oh, that guy, he's an Avelus? I mean, people know he's an Avelus anyway, but you shouldn't do things that draw attention to he's an Avelus. So you see, oh, Reuven's holding the Sefer Torah. He's an Avelus. He's not an Avelus. Somebody's got to hold the Sefer Torah. Problem is, if you have more than one Ovel and Shul, you have Anoshana Rava, so you can take out all the Sefer Torah, so you can make it through. But if you have more than one Ovel, then obviously that Eitz is not going to work. So our minig is that we're not so worried about this Avelus of Hesia story. Why are we not so worried about this Avelus of Hesia story? So the reason is based on something that we spoke about earlier. The Gemara says in Baba Basra, Gemara's whole sugi in Baba Basra about selling a base of kvaros, because all the sugis of selling land and houses and property are in the middle of Baba Basra. So Gemara's whole sugi about if you sell a base of kvaros, how much room you have to need for each kever. So a lot of the sugis of kvarim appear, the tzura of kvarim appears in that sugya. So the Gemara says that there used to be a practice in the days of Chazal that after the Levaya was over, they would do Ma'amados, they would stop and start and stop. Like we, our minig is we do it before the Kavura, but again, it's only a minig. So in the days of Chazal, some of the minig was to do it afterwards, and some of that minig changed that we do it before. It's not a din anyway, it's a minig. So they would stop and start and stop and start. So the Rishonim discuss about doing that practice on Shabbos. Mermaid talks about it. Rishonim explain that you're allowed to even do that on Shabbos. Why would you be doing that on Shabbos? You had a Levaya, it's 6 o'clock, Shabbos is 6:30, so you're running to rush into Levaya before Shkia, so you finish the Kvura, so now you realize you're in the basic Kvura, so it just got dark, so it's already Shkia, it's already Shabbos. So the Gemara, no problem. The Gemara says, no problem, you can stop and start and stop and start. You can do that kunz on Shabbos also. So the Ruchai Yosef explains, why can you do that? It's an Avelus that you did. How can you do that on Shabbos? So the Mechuyah says, that's not Avelus. It's just not Minig. It's not really Avelus. Avelus means the wearing, not wearing shoes. Avelus is you're wearing your kriya. Those are dinim of Avelus. Things which are just death-oriented, so that's not considered to be an expression of Avelus on Shabbos. And therefore, it wouldn't be okay. It's based on that. And the Mechuyah also quotes, there are those who say that the Avel is allowed to change his seat even on Shabbos. There are some Rishonim who said that an Avel shouldn't change his seat on Shabbos, because the change of seed and shops and yellow, that's like Avelus of Hesia. And the Bukhaya says, nah, that's not really Avelus. That's like going to Golos. That's other reasons why the Ovel changes the seed. It's not really Avelus. And therefore, it's perfectly okay to do it on Shabbos. That's what most people follow that practice today. So it's based on this that the post can say, maybe that's the reason why we're not so worried about the Avelus of Hesia for Oshanas. You know why? Because it's not Osher anyway. If it would be an Issa Gomer, and Ovel's not allowed to do Oshanas, it's like Mamash and Issa Lagamer, it's a dinner because Avelus. So then we would say, hey, wait a second. If it's a real din that a chazavelus is requiring not to do Oshanas, then we would have to question, well, how can we let that happen on Yantav and Chol Hamoed? That's a veil of Hesia. But the Teretz is, it's not a veil anyway. It's just either because of Shlech Tzibor for the long hair, for the lack of Simcha, half a dozen other reasons, which are not a veil proper. Therefore, we're not so worried about it. Haraya. Let's say we have, our minig is that the Ovel doesn't down for the Yomid on Shams and Yontif. So sometimes that draws Avelus for Hesia. It's a Chol Hamoed. So we get up and we tell the Ovel, no, you can't daven today, it's Chol Hamoed, you're an Ovel. Isn't that Avelus for Hesia? You're telling him not to daven? So the answer is, no, that's not Avelus for Hesia. Because the fact that Ovel doesn't daven, that's not an expression of Avelus. That's a different word of the Gamri. It's not a Chos Avelus. That's a different story. That idea that Ovel normally davens for the Yom, doesn't for the Yom and Shabbos and Yontif, so that doesn't even follow the regular rules of Hilchos Avelus. That was the shayla that you asked me when Shiva is canceled and Shloshim is canceled. So the poskim say it doesn't cancel it vis-a-vis Kedima for the Yom. It only cancels it vis-a-vis Hilchos Avelus, because the whole idea of yes daven for the Yom, not daven for the Yom, Kedima for the Yom, that's a different for Lagam. There was a different rules, so that has nothing to do with Hilchos Avelus proper. Anyway, getting back to this to the story. So the minig is in most places that the Ovel doesn't do Oshanas for a variety of reasons, even though, again, it's not an absolute halacha, and there were some Rishonim who were in favor of the Ovel doing it, but then it has become that the Ovel doesn't do it.
So the restriction, I think, is only the walking around part, right? I mean, obviously...
Yeah, you could still hold the little Hadassah, you could say the words, yeah.
Because I just asked Rabbi Neuberger this yesterday. Yeah. I had my first yard site on Shabbos this year.
Okay.
So in Beth Abraham, they do Oshanas right after Hallel. So I asked them, am I allowed to lead it? You know, if I'm dominating for the Yom.
Yeah.
So he said, it's okay, I'm not walking
around.
They don't walk on Shabbos anymore.
But it's Yahrzeit. We have a minig that we observe Avelus on the day of the Yahrzeit. Mikra din, the Avelus is really over the day before the Yahrzeit.
Right.
Right. Technically, the day, but the minig is there. Moral, it's a minig that the observer veils into the day of the year, the day of the year itself. Also, mm-hmm. No. Wait, but you had a funny yurt. No. But you had a strange yurtzeit issue, if I remember correctly, right? Because it was a break. So you observed the yurtzeit on the Yom HaMisa, the Yom HaKvura this year.
I didn't have a break. The burial was the day after she died, so I didn't.
Oh, you didn't have the. I remember last year there was something. You were in there. I forgot
about
it.
I was here. I just barely made it.
I remember there was something. I remember what it was. Okay. Whatever. Okay, whatever.
Just
going
back to Rav Schechter, so it would not be okay for an Avil on Chol HaMoed to daven Shachris, but Mincha and Mar...
You mean what would Rav Schechter say? I can't tell you.
It was only because it was a Mincha?
I can't tell you. I don't know. I don't know, Rav Schechter.
For Chol HaMoed and daven up until Hallel.
I thought the Midigan most. I thought the most place. I don't think anybody really does that. Okay. I don't think so. I don't know. I shouldn't say anyway.
If an Avil doesn't daven on Yom Tov because of the Simcha,
whatever it is.
So what's the difference between Simchas Yom Tov Chol HaMoed? Our minhag for an Avil not to daven on Yom Tov is because there's a mitzvah deraisa of Simcha, and that would conflict.
I don't know. It's not clear exactly what the reason is. It's not. It's other Masal Yonim reasons. It's not. I'm not sure that has anything to do with Simcha proper. I'm not sure. Okay. Anyway, getting back to this story. So this minhag is already made into the Shulchan Aruch, into the Ramah, the idea of the Avon Adon Hashanahs. Now the later poskim carry over this discussion to Hakafas on Simchas Torah. So you're not going to find this in the Rishonim because they didn't do Hakafas in the Rishonim Simchas Torah. But whatever minhag that we have developed over the last couple hundred years of doing Hakafas, so the Gaon already talked about the celebration of Simchas Torah and a little bit of the tzur that we have, but the elaborate Hakafas that we have, so that's relatively new in Halacha. So that minhag of doing Hakafas on Simchas Torah, so some poskim say that's a continuation of the Hoshanas. So just as the Avol doesn't do Hoshanas, so some poskim write, you don't do Hoshanas, so you don't do Hakafas. Hakafas is much more of a simcha. So that's become pretty much what the minhag is, that the Avol doesn't do Hakafas either. So get back into the old story of, it's a Avos of Hesya. So we have one or two approaches to the Avos of Hesya. Either the approach that we said before, that it's not really a Avos, it's not a violation of Avos of Hesya, because it's not really a din in the first place. So, since it's not so awesome anyway, it's not a real Issa Gomor. So therefore, not doing it doesn't really demonstrate an Avos of Hesya. That's one answer. Or you can go back to some of the things we said before. It's not so Nikol Yayin. Just because a guy's not doing Hakafas, a lot of people stand on the side and the shmuzin drawing Hakafas, rightfully or wrongfully, whatever. Not everyone's always in the middle of the fray of the dancing. So one can argue that per se is not considered to be a Avos of Hesya. Might enough community between the two reasons. So chaps enough community for the rabbi. The rabbi every year does dance, every year does participate, everyone knows. Everyone remembers the Simchas Torah dance. So when I was in Avela, so if you go with the first shot, that doesn't matter. Hakafas is not a din, it's not an isser, it's not a real Avelos, not doing Hakafas, and therefore let everybody know, who cares? It's not considered to be Avelos of Hesya. So then even the rabbi shouldn't participate. If you hold that it's just because it's not really for Hesya, because people will explain away that he's not participating because for the mother his leg hurts, his back hurts, he's tired, so then the rabbi is not participating in the Hakafas, everybody realizes it's for one reason alone. So there are different monogamy about that also. I think at the time I asked Rabbi Willie, he told me not to. He said, I forgot. Did I take a one Hakafah? I don't remember anymore. I think Sefer Torah once. Some folks can say, you take Sefer Torah once, you walk around, it's a Shvach Hakafah that you can do. But the dancing and the participant and the Leibedik, so that's not appropriate. I think that's what pretty much the prevalent meaning is, for at least in many places, is. There are other parts of the celebration of the Sukkot and Sukkot Torah that throw into question the participation of Avelim. So here, this part would only apply to somebody who's technically in Shiva on Simchas Torah. How would a person possibly be in Shiva on Simchas Torah? So if somebody died from before Yom Tov and the Kavura was from before Yom Tov, then he won't be in Shiva on Simchas Torah because Sukkot's already canceled the Shiva. But if it's called the Kavur Mace Beregel, if a person buried his mace on Yom Tov, so then, we already learned last year, so then the Avelus proper, the counting of the Shiva only begins after Yom Tov. Technically begins, Simchas Torah is technically really the first day of Shiva, since it's a Sfeika Diyoma, so it counts already towards the first day of Shiva. But the person is still in the quasi-state of Avelos before the Shiva actually starts. It's actually Mechalik is the Rambam and the Ramban about that. According to the Rambam, he's not Avelos at all. According to the Rambam, until the count of Shiva starts after Yontif, so he's allowed to do everything he wants. And according to the Ramban, no. According to the Ramban, that's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch, that until Yontif ends, so he's, it's almost like a Shabbos. His Avelus Petzina still applies, Avelus Fahesia doesn't apply. So you can have a guy who's Kovim Mesa regular at the beginning of Yontif, he has almost 2 weeks of Shiva, the way we passed in Shulchan Aruch, the whole first week of Yontif, so he's not allowed to do Dvarim Shiva Tzina. Then, for the week after Yontif, then he's Mamash Avelus the Mamash Avelus of Shiva. So he ends up for almost many, many halachas, at least for the Tzina purposes, he ends up with 2 weeks of Avelus. I remember several years ago, I had a shayla who was very, felt so bad. There was a woman who had called me with a shayla, the chasnida, and it was a complicated story, and had to say she was asura for an extra week. And it turned out that then she was an Avelus. It was a Kovim Mesa Beregel. So one of the things that's also Bitzina is Tashmish Amita. So the whole week of Yontif, they're Asurim anyway. And then the week afterwards, they're Asurim Al Shiva. And then then she was in Nida for 2 weeks, like normal. And then I had Asa for another week for some Ilchus Nida complication. It was like my heart broke. I just had Asa for like 5 weeks straight, a combination of every different possible complication halach, all combined together. That's what happens. Anyway, but get back to the story. So the Ovel, the quasi-Ovel on Simchus Torah, he could theoretically be an Ovel in with all the dinim of Shiva, so to speak, all the dinim of Tzina of Shiva on Simchus Torah. So the post can discuss, what should this person do about getting an Aliyah? So we know it's an age-old minig. How old the minig is, a couple hundred years old, everyone gets an Aliyah Simchus Torah. So should this person be getting an Aliyah or not? So we know, generally speaking, an Ovel during Shiva doesn't get an Aliyah. Either the Ovel on Shabbos for sure, does not supposed to be getting an Aliyah, because that's considered to be Tamat Torah, and an Ovel on Shabbos is not really supposed to be learning, because learning is usually Dvarim Tzivit Tzina. Even though this learning is taking place in Shul, in Befahesia, but not everybody gets an Aliyah every week, so the fact he's not getting an Aliyah doesn't draw any attention, so that's not a Vesef Hesiyah. So we spoke about the famous Maestro Rabbeinu Tam, that Rabbeinu Tam used to get Shlishi every week, so he was an Avela, so the Gabbai thought he was so smart, so the Gabbai didn't call Rabbeinu Tam for the Aliyah, because he knows the din is that an Ovel's not supposed to get an Aliyah in Shabbos and Shiva. So Rabbeinu Tam walked up and took the Aliyah himself. So he asked him why. So he said, because I get every week, he said, if I'm not going to take the Aliyah, everyone's going to realize that I'm an Ovel, and that's going to be a violation of a Vesef Hesiyah. But putting aside that wild case of Rabbeinu Tam, normally an Ovel doesn't get an Aliyah. So here, this guy's in Avelus, he's observing, quote-unquote, Shiva, at least the Dvar Shabbat Tzina. So what's the din? Is he permitted to get an Aliyah? So on the one hand, Elchaz Avelus dictates no, but the Minig of Simchus Torah would say that he should. So is there any reason to give him an Aliyah or not to give him an Aliyah? So the Pelskim discuss this din, that if you have this Ovel, this twilight zone, that he's not yet observing Shiva, but on the other hand, he has to observe the Dvar Shabbat Tzina. Is Talmud Torah considered to be one of those Dvarim Shabbat Tzina? Is he permitted to learn or not? This could be a very serious shaila. The guy's Kovim Meso, the first day Chol HaMoed, if you're going to tell him he can't learn, he can't learn for the next 6 days, and then he can't learn for a whole week afterwards. That's going to be a tough thing to do. So there are a group of Echaranim who are makel to, I guess, Kuba Chomer, whatever you want to call it, who are makel to let an Ovel on Yontif, even in the middle, little in the middle of Shiva, they let him learn. Talmud Torah is excluded from the Yisurim. Why is that? So for a variety of reasons. So some Echaranim right, because Lamais, the Ovel's Chayim, Simchus Yontif. That's the bottom line. How can you have Simchus Yontif without learning? It's inconceivable that Chazal would have said he can't learn. Then Odiyah Shalom, other Echaranim, right, that you have to let him learn, because the only reason why an Ovel doesn't learn the whole week in a regular weekday is because we're not telling him not to learn, we're telling him to learn Eichon, Hilchos Avelus, and Eov, we're telling him to learn the Tishbav stuff, Devarim Shurim from here, we're letting him learn other things. But on Yontif, how are you going to tell a guy, okay, you can't learn Shnayim Ochzim Adalas, sit and read the tragedies in Sefer Yirmiyahu? That's going to stress him because Yontif also. Tell him you can only read the depressing parts of Sefer Eov. That's going to be very, very sad. So you're basically tying the guy's hands down and telling him, don't learn anything. So the Pesachat Shuvah quotes from the Chacham Tzvi, he says that how can it be that Chazal set up a situation, a Jew's not going to learn for 5 days, nothing. He's going to sit around twiddle his thumbs for 5 days, a kente. A regular Avel, the only reason why they created an Issa Talmud Torah is because they built in a head of learning other things. But for an Ovel on Yontif, where there is no heter to learn other things, because to learn other things is going to destroy whatever simplest Yontif you still have, so to tell him that he can't learn, you're telling a guy to be Mevatel Torah for a whole week. So some Achronim write, for that reason, it must be that Talmud Torah was never included in the Yisif of the Ovel during Shiva. So it's based on that, that some Achronim write, that if you have an Ovel, he's in the middle of Shiva on Simchus Torah, he can get an Aliyah, Nishka Frelach, doesn't matter, because the whole list of getting an Aliyah is out to Talmud Torah. He's allowed to learn anyway. The guy's learning his Daf Yomi anyway. He's learning anything anyway. So that would be okay. What did they tell you, remember last year?
I spoke to Rabbi Thomas about it. He told me it was okay.
So based on those achronim, a group of achronim have this idea that even though in theory it should have been aser, but lemaisa based on these considerations, so the poskim are making.
What's wrong is
So you wonder how can the other walk into shul on Shabbos look like a mess?
Every Shabbos he should
take a shave. He should get
or trim, trim his hair. Right, right. When we know we go to shloshim once,
right. Excellent question. Right. The shachas the kasha. Right. The chmorim talk about that kasha. So there are many poskim who say that the din of aveilus of hesia. This would throw off most of the things we've been talking about. Aveilus of hesia is only on shivat kedinim. It's a guy walks to the shul with his sneakers on. Now that's a I don't know, maybe today people walk in the shul regular Shabbos. A guy walks in with his sneakers on and Shabbos. That's a veil sefahesia. A guy, because we're going to say, oh my goodness, he's being noik shivon Shabbos. Shivon Shabbos, that's terrible. A guy's being noik shloshim on Shabbos. Shloshim is not so chum anyway. That's not terrible. It's not such an expression of avela. So some say that. If that would be true, that would throw off a lot of things in Uchaz Avela. So we usually don't assume that way. Something like Rav Moshe has a truth, we spoke about this, about Beis HaMishnah. Let's say have an oval the whole year. He wants to go to a certain celebration on Shabbos. So he's invited to Sheva Brachas on Shabbos, invited to different events on Shabbos. And his not participating is going to be for Hesiod. So if he's just a regular guest, so some people like to think they're very important. They think if they're not there, everyone's going to notice that they're not there. Most of the time, nobody knows either or not. So if he's a regular guest and he doesn't show up, he's a third cousin, doesn't show up for the Sheva Brachas, no one's going to think twice about it. But if he's the brother of the I don't know, the chassan's father, he's an uncle, he's somebody who's very close to the family, he doesn't show up, so everyone's going to realize, the reason why he doesn't show up is because of Avelus, so Rav Moshe's matin to go, because otherwise that'll be a violation of Avelus of Hesia. That's not like the Shach. According to the Shach, the Isser of going to Beis HaMishta, that's nothing to do with Shiva, that's a Yud Beis Chodesh, that's a Shloshim, that's a later part of Ilchus Avelus. So Rav Moshe was signing with the other Echmer, who were applying the rules of Hesia even to other things. So according to that, then how can you let an Ava walk with the shul and 3 weeks into his shloshim, he looks like a mess. Everybody knows he's not shaving because he's an Avelis. So how do we let that? Why isn't that Avelis of Hesia? I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. If you don't go down the Ruud Shach, I don't know what the answer is. But Lamais, that's the din. There's no question. That's what the practice is. Remember when I used to, when I was in Avela, so the Poskim talk about going to Shalom Zochos. So the Samach Ron, right, Shalom Zochos is not so, not such a Zasimcha anyway, it's not such a Knisla based on Simcha. And then I say, no, then the Avel shouldn't go to a Shalom Zochos, unless it's Nikar, unless it's going to be so obvious that he doesn't show up. We had a couple of years ago, we had somebody where the grandfather was in the middle of Shiva. So the person was Danta, right? Danta used to live here. He made a Shalom Zachar, and the father was Mamshin in the middle of Shiva. And whoever he asked, correctly so, told him he has to come to the Shalom Zachar. Sitting in the middle of Shiva, because otherwise the father's not, the father of the grandfather of the baby's not there. Everyone's going to put two and two together, he's not there outside of Avelus. So that would be Avelus Vesia. So I remember when I was in Avelus that year, so I didn't go to any Shalom Zachars. Because I didn't think, even though I'm the rabbi, I always got every Shalom Zacha, I didn't think that would be a veil of Hesia, because no one's going to know when I was. I don't come to Shalom Zacha sit there for 3 hours, for sure not. So I come for my 3 minutes, say my drush, and then leave, have my harpist and leave. So it's not Nikola Ayan that I didn't come at that given time. Only someone who's sitting for the 3 hours, but the father's going to make a cheshbon, and that's not, I don't think that's called veil of Hesia. So I used to always say that I picked that chumrah of not going to Shalom Zachas. You know, that way I get to learn a little bit extra those Friday nights. So I didn't think it was so necessary to go to Shalom Zachas. But again, if it would be a Farhesia type of a situation, then in a chenami, then the other would be in a sense required to go to the Shalom Zachar.
Why is the concept of the Farhesia for Shiva to go to Shalom Zachar, which is an appearance type thing, override the guy sitting there in the middle of Shiva for 3 hours singing, and it's like a mishta.
Right, it is a mishta.
That's
a violation. It is a mishta. You're right. It is, but it's no less of a violation than wearing shoes. Wearing shoes is also us enjoying Shiva, and yet the Gemara says that you're not allowed to walk around with your bare feet on Shabbos, because that's the din, the Chama Masaka, that avails of Hesia. It cannot be done on Shabbos. So you're right, in Ochanami, it is a violation of Shiva, the same way wearing shoes is a violation of Shiva. Somebody else was asking me this week about participating in all kind of these sukkah parties, beishalevas and maisach and all these things. So these are all a throwback to all the things we spoke about in the past about beis hamishtas. That Tosis throws the hands up and the sukkah and they're right. They're not sure what is a kriisla beis hamishta, what's not a kriisla beis hamishta. Not really clear what exactly kriisla beis hamishta is. So that's what the Ramah writes, that we have across the board. We tell the Fatim they shouldn't go to brisim, they shouldn't go to even these sudas that are not absolute beis hamishtas. So we tell the Fatim they should refrain from doing these things. That's what the Ramah quotes as our custom is. That's why I tell people also that to go to any of these kinds of parties or stuff I don't think is appropriate. Those who, for whatever reason, have to go. So most people have to take their kids and all the other cheshbonos, so at least not to eat at these parties, because according to Hefta Rishonim, the Yisr Kedisla Beis HaMishta is only when you mamish eat there, when you participate there. You just walk in, so then that's not, according to some poskim, that's not considered to be a violation of Kedisla Beis HaMishta. So again, lichat chila, those who don't have to go to any of these things, I should try to avoid these things. If a person, for whatever reason, has to go, so at least they should go and not actually participate, not actually eat there. Whether they could dance there is a different story. So some say in the Shulchan Aruch you can't dance at a Beis HaMishta. It says you can't eat at a Beis HaMishta. I think most people are not knowing that way. I think the minhag is that even when the person finds his way into one of these Beis HaMishtas for whatever short amount of time, so he just goes and for whatever Shasat Chak, and then he leaves. So we assume that this applies, I think most assume that this applies even on Yom Tov also. But not everybody. Some say that the whole list of Knesset Beis HaMishta maybe doesn't apply in Yom Tov. That would be across the board out there. But again, yesh v'yesh in terms of that. So hopefully we should, always zeichah should be a time of zman z'pasenu, because Baruch Hu should be a bila mavos l'netzach for the Avelim and all of Klal Yisrael. We won't be able to celebrate Sosmas Meichim in Shalom.